Well, good morning. Well, we are going to continue our series over rhythms today. If you weren't here a few weeks ago for our intro, what we're doing this summer is we're exploring different habits of devotion that will help us to know Jesus more and to live more like him. And last week, Pastor Roger focused on the spiritual discipline of trust, where he took us all through a seminary class, didn't he? Okay. But Roger dove deep into the academic side of textual criticism in order to encourage you and I to have faith. We have great reason to believe in this Bible that we study. But today we're going to kind of swing to the other side as we're going to talk about something, a practice that is much more simple, a practice that every single one of us can grasp and do, and that's the practice of prayer. It's the practice of prayer. But while prayer is indeed a simple practice, it is often one of the more frustrating and difficult practices as well. Because I think most of us, right, if we were honest, we would admit that we know we should pray, but we probably don't pray as much as we should or as much as we wished. And when we do pray, it's not as vibrant as we'd like it to be. In fact, we're going to do a little accountability here. So I want you to raise your hand. Now, I'm raising mine already. If you would say that you do not pray as much as you wish you did, okay? Or if maybe you pray a lot, but it's not as vibrant as you want. Now, put your hands up. This is accountability, okay? And those of you that aren't raising your hand, I'm going to let you come and preach, okay? But I think most of us would agree when it comes to prayer that we don't pray as much as we should. And it's not as deep as we'd like at times. Most of us here are in the same boat, and that's why we're talking about this. Now take a deep breath, okay? Be at peace. This is not going to be one of those guilt-based sermons, okay? I'm not here to shame you today. That's not what this is about. Even though I love a good gut-punching sermon, okay? I'm going to throw just a few today. But that's really not what I'm trying to do today. My goal is not to try to guilt you to pray. Because that's not what prayer is. Prayer is an invitation. It's an invitation. God does not guilt us into relationship with him. Because there's no intimacy and there's no friendship in a guilt-based relationship. That's not what this message is. That's not what prayer is. Because prayer is about friendship. Prayer is about trust. Prayer is about relationship. When my wife and I go on dates, I don't guilt her to go on a date with me, okay? It'd be kind of lame. I don't call her and be like, you know, Rach, do you even love me? Well, let's go to dinner. Just not what we do, okay? I lovingly invite her into a relationship with me. I invite her to go on a date with me. She does the same because we want to spend time with one another, and that's what prayer is. Prayer is an invitation. It's an invitation to experience a loving relationship with God. God wants to spend time with us through prayer. He wants us to know him. He wants us to taste his goodness. He wants us to experience his power, which is why he invites us to pray. And so that's the message for today. This sermon is just going to be an invitation to pray. I'm going to encourage you, as God does all throughout the scriptures, to pray and then to keep praying. And then towards the end of our time today, I'm going to switch things up a little bit. And the plan is, Lord willing, I'm going to preach a shorter sermon, okay? And then what we're going to do the last 5 or 10 minutes of our time is I'm going to guide you through a time of prayer, okay? I'm going to guide you through a time of prayer. Now, be at peace. I'm going to guide you, okay? It's going to be a silent time. All you introverts are going, oh God, I'm not going to make you pray with anybody. It's just, we're going to pray silently and privately. Okay. But we're going to do that at the end. Okay. That's the goal. All right. But with that said, would you bow with me and let's pray right now and ask God to bless our time. Well, Father God, I want to ask you, just as the disciples ask, and we'll talk about, that you would teach us how to pray this morning. God, I know there's people listening right now, there's people in this room that feel like they're distant from you, they don't feel close to you. But God, I pray that as a result of our time together in your word, and as a result of our time together in prayer, that you would rekindle intimacy. So God, we just want to invite your spirit to have your way with us this morning. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, in a little bit, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, that'd be great. We'll get there eventually. Okay. But growing up, a prayer was really always a big part of my life. I don't know if I fully realized what a relationship with Christ was, like fully until I got to college. But growing up, I mean, I grew up in a Christian home, okay, godly parents. I've always believed in the existence of God, and I've always believed that somehow God interacts with us through prayer. Some of my earliest memories in life literally are times of prayer. I don't know why, but when I was a young boy, 4 or 5 years old, I was just so worried that something was going to happen to my parents. So worried about that. And so often while they would be watching TV, I would go and I'd kneel down as a little boy behind the couch and I would pray and I'd say, God, would you protect my parents? Would you protect my parents? Just like humble, honest, childlike prayer. I wish I could say that continued, but it did not, okay? My prayer life began to change a little bit. It shifted as I got older into my teenage years into this like negotiating type of self-centered prayer, okay? And they usually centered around three main topics, okay? So the first main topic that I prayed over was Aggie football, okay? I'm being for real, okay? That was like a big part of my prayer life. And so often we'd go to these Aggie football games at Kyle Field, and I would be surrendering my life to the Lord. And I was like, listen, God, like I will do anything if we could just win, okay? Like just help us to win. And he remained silent for many years, okay? For many years. But he is starting to answer them prayers because I've been like the persistent widow, okay? Just praying. So he's starting to answer. The second kind of main area of prayer for me growing up, especially my teenage years, was girls, okay? Like I really wanted a girlfriend, okay, really bad. And I was like in eighth grade. I was like, chill out, boy. But I remember like, no joke, I'd be like in eighth grade. I was like in the outfield, just kind of like daydreaming. And I was like, listen, God, I'll lay down this glove. I will surrender if you'll just give me this fine honey over here. Okay, please. Like, I'll give up baseball if you'll just give me a girlfriend. You know, and then kind of like the third main area for me was when I was fishing. Okay, literally fishing. Me and my cousin one time, we were in Port Aransas and we were fishing in the surf. And literally we cast out a line and we were just like, God, if you're there, if you're real, please just give us a fish. I'm not joking. This is no joke. Right when we said amen, our pole went wah. Okay. Huge fish on the line, reeled that sucker in. We went away praising the Lord. There is a God. Okay. He answers prayers. Okay. So that was kind of a prayer life for Jason Upmore growing up. And I share all that. I mean, it's funny, some of it. But to be honest, like some of it also is, it's kind of twisted, you know. It's kind of dark because I started to believe, I don't know why, I think it's just because of sin, I started to believe that I could somehow negotiate terms with God in my spiritual life. Like if I did certain things to appease God, then he would answer some of my selfish prayers. And so my relationship with God became like this merit-based relationship where I started thinking that I could earn a relationship with God. And if I did good things, he would bless me and he would listen to my prayers. But if I did bad things, he wouldn't listen. He would ignore my very existence. And I got into high school and I started to struggle like most teenagers do. And I started to struggle with some decisions and with sin. And I started to struggle academically and in sports. And I started to believe that maybe God was disappointed in me. And I started just to feel all these emotions of guilt and shame, right? And I started to believe that if I was going to earn a relationship with God, or if I was going to have a relationship with God, I would need to earn it. I'd have to get my act together in order for God to love me and interact with me through prayer. And the problem with that line of thinking is it's completely contrary to everything that Scripture says. It's completely contrary to everything Scripture says. Y'all know this verse, Ephesians 2:8. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works that no one can boast. The message is clear in Scripture. You cannot earn a relationship with God. You can't earn His love. God does not love you because of what you do. He loves you regardless of what you do. That's grace. And I know for a lot of us, like, we would affirm that to be true. But then if you examine the way that we really live, if you examine the way that we pray, we live with this chip on our shoulder. Like, I got to prove myself. And if God's going to answer my prayers, I've got to get more righteous or He won't interact with me. But that's not our God. And honestly, the danger of this series that we're doing as we study different spiritual disciplines and try to apply them to our lives, if we're not careful, these disciplines can easily be a means for us to prove ourselves to God, to try to earn a relationship with Him. Like, maybe if I pray more, maybe if I read my Bible more, maybe if I go to church more, maybe if I give more, maybe if I do those things, God will actually like me. He'll like me. And Jesus knew this would be a temptation for us, this temptation to try to earn approval from Him. Or there's a lot of Christians that do this. We do all of these things. We practice the spiritual disciplines because we want to be highly esteemed by others. And we want others to elevate us. Like, if they see us praying with these big words and with this all this passion, then maybe they'll view us in a better light and it'll make us feel better about ourselves. And Jesus knew. He knew this would be a temptation, especially when we pray, which is why He talks about it specifically in Matthew chapter 6. He says this in verse 1. He says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who's in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him." There's something very important here that Jesus is trying to illustrate. Please don't miss it. As Jesus talks about giving, He says, don't sound the trumpet. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, for your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Later in verse 16, if you turn there, when He talks about fasting, He says, don't make it a public thing. Don't make it obvious. Don't announce to the world that you're fasting. But instead, when you fast, do it in secret. And know that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And again, as He talks about prayer, it's the exact same message. Jesus says, don't pray like the hypocrites. And don't think that by your long spiritual sentences and your big spiritual words that somehow God hears you. The point Jesus is trying to make, He says, don't go through the motions when it comes to your spiritual life. And don't go through the motions when you come pray to me. It doesn't honor God. But the fact of the matter is this. We all struggle with this, all of us. Especially for those of us in the church, we know how to play the Christian game. We know how to give the Sunday school answer. We know how to word things in a way so that we'll come across as more spiritual than we really are. But that's not what our God is after. These verses are just, they're not just about giving. It's not just about fasting. It's not just about prayer. No, these verses, they're about our heart, our heart. That's what God is after. He's after our heart. You know, your heart, it's the most authentic part of you. If you want to live an authentic life and if you want to truly seek after God, you got to do so with your heart. And that's how God wants us to pray. He says, when you come to me, go to a private place where it's just you and me, and pray to your Father who sees you in secret. You know, God wants our heart. He wants our heart. He says, whatever's in there, whether it's ugly or beautiful, whatever's there, that's what God wants. Give it to him. Own it. Vocalize it. Listen, God isn't shocked by what's going on in your life right now. He's not surprised by your thoughts or your actions. He's God. He already knows. God knows what's going through your head. He already knows what emotions you're feeling, whether they're dark or whether they're good. He knows. He's God. He's God. So just vocalize it to him. That's what prayer is. Own it. If that's what's in your heart, if that's what's in your mind, own it. Give it to God. Say, this is what I'm feeling, God. This is what I'm thinking, God. Just bring to him whatever you got. That's what prayer is. You know, one thing I find really interesting as you look at the scriptures is that the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray, which I find fascinating. It says this in Luke 11, verse 1, that while Jesus was praying in a certain place after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. I just find this request like absolutely remarkable. I want you to think with me for a moment. Just like try to imagine, like put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Like you've witnessed Jesus do some absolutely mind-blowing stuff. Like you have literally witnessed Jesus calm a raging storm with just a few words. You've seen Jesus multiply food. You've seen Jesus heal the blind and the deaf. You've seen Jesus go up to a paralytic and he says, get up, walk. You've seen Jesus literally go up to people after they have died and he says, not on my watch, get up, rise. And the disciples, after witnessing all of these things, their request to Jesus is, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. I mean, I'm like, if I could ask Jesus to teach me something, I think I would choose about 20 other things, right? Like, Jesus, teach me how to multiply food, okay? Like, the grocery store, the bill, no more. Multiply food, okay? Or God, teach me how to lead. God, teach me how to preach. God, teach me how to love. The disciples say, no, Jesus, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray. And the question is like, why? Like out of all things, like why are the disciples so interested in prayer? Well, I think they were because as they watched Jesus' life, they noticed a deep correlation to how Jesus lived and how Jesus prayed. They noticed that something happened when Jesus prayed. There was power attached to Jesus' prayer life. And I think that is what Jesus is trying to show his disciples. He says, if you want to experience the power of God in your life, then pattern your prayer life after me. He's modeling for us, hey, this is how you do it. Listen, life is too hard for us to go about it on our own strength. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the love. We don't have the strength to do it on our own. If we try, this world will crush us. It'll crush us. And what God says, if you want to learn how to persevere and make a difference in this world, then get on your knees and pray. Because that's where heavenly wisdom and heavenly love and heavenly power comes from. There is no other route. That's it. That's what it looks like to follow Jesus. But prayer is something that we have to learn how to do. We have to learn how to pray. The way the disciples learned how to pray is by praying with Jesus. They needed to be with someone who modeled to them how to pray. I remember in college, I was greatly influenced by this large Christian Bible study called Breakaway. And Breakaway, if you don't know anything about it, they meet on Tuesday nights on campus in the basketball arena. And there are usually 10,000 college students who will come from the campus in order to worship and hear the word of God. Okay, like it's crazy. There's nothing else like it out there. And I was greatly influenced by this this organization by the Bible teaching that happened there. And so much so that when I got to my sophomore year of college, I decided that I wanted to be on one of their volunteer teams. Because literally the way that they run things, they have students that are on these teams and they do all a bunch of stuff. And what you do if you wanted to be on a team is you had to fill out an application. And then on the application, you had to rank in order which teams you would want to be a part of. And so I did that. And the very last team that I put on that application that I really did not want to be a part of was the prayer team, okay? It's the prayer team. And of course, like I get an email from them, and which team did I get accepted to be a part of? The prayer team, okay? The prayer team, because that's how God works, right? And I was not pumped about it at all, but I decided, you know what? I'm gonna go for it. Let's do this. And so the way that this would work is every single Tuesday night, instead of going to the actual Bible study event, me and 10 to 12 other students, we would go underneath the basketball stadium, literally in a bunker. And for the entire event, for about an hour to an hour and a half, we would pray nonstop. We'd pray for non-believers. We'd pray for those that are addicted to sin. We'd pray for new eyes, for a new mind. And I'll tell you, as I prayed with these people, these mature believers on a weekly basis, it started to change me from the inside out. As I witness these believers who are more mature than myself, as they prayed with conviction, with tears in their eyes, as they prayed with passion, it started to shape who I was as a follower of Christ. And by being around these believers, I learned how to pray. I learned how to pray. It was a form of discipleship for me as I listened to others model prayer. Church, one of the best ways for us to learn how to pray is by praying with other faithful believers. If you want to deepen your prayer life, then get around some other believers who love Jesus more than you do and pray with them. Pray with them. But that means if we pray with them, we've got to actually listen to what they're praying for. Okay, I'm guilty of this. I get in a group, we start praying, and other people are praying, but I don't know what they're saying because I'm just thinking about what I'm going to say next. Right? Anybody else do that? Right? Get nervous. I'm like, what am I going to say? I don't know. So I start thinking about it, and then I don't even listen to what they're saying. So if we're going to be transformed and moved by people's prayers and used as a form of discipleship, that means we got to actually listen to what other people are praying. We've got a prayer ministry here at Wayside that you can be a part of. These folks pray faithfully every single week. We got some prayer warriors here at Wayside that a lot of us can learn from. But whether you join that group or not, if you want to grow in prayer, you've got to position yourself so you're with other mature, faithful believers who can teach you how to pray. But typically, when it comes to prayer, there are two main problems. Okay, number one is we don't pray enough. Okay, we already talked about that. Okay, but that's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says we should pray without ceasing, meaning you should pray and then keep praying. Okay, we can all grow on that. I've never met a believer who's like, yeah, I've got that whole praying without ceasing thing down, okay? Like, never met one. We can all grow here, all of us. We can all pray more. That's the first problem. We don't pray enough. But then the second main problem for many believers is when we do pray, we don't know what to pray for, okay? So when we do pray, we don't know what to pray for. We get to the dinner table with our family, and we pray. We say, God, thank you for today. God, thank you for this fried chicken. God, help it to be healthy, Lord. God, bless this food. I don't know what that means, God, but bless it. Bless it. Amen. Amen. Okay, that's a lot of it. Listen, I'm guilty of that too, okay? I was poking fun at you. I'm guilty of this too. And some of you may not struggle in that way, but a lot of believers do. When it comes to prayer, we're just going through the motions. And so the question is like, how do we pray? Like, what do we pray for? That's a big struggle for many of us. And if that's you, I want you to give yourself some grace because that was the disciples as well. They came to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We don't know how to pray. And Jesus doesn't scold them. He's like, what? Are you serious? You don't know how to pray? No, he real gentle. He says, if you want to know how to pray, he says, pray like this. He says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? Now, we could do a whole sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, and we might just do that at some point. But the Lord's Prayer is a wonderful model for us to follow. Now, I don't think the Lord's Prayer is the only way that we have to pray. You look at Scripture. There are all types of prayers in the Scriptures. If you want to learn how to pray, read your Bible. And then pray Scripture back to God. But I think the Lord's Prayer is an awesome model to follow, especially when you don't know what to pray for. And I don't think we should take it lightly that when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray, he says, pray like this. Pray like this. Now, I know some of you, you don't necessarily feel comfortable praying, or you're not confident praying. That's okay. Okay, there's a lot of people that don't feel confident praying. But prayer is just like anything else in life. If you want to get better at something, what do you do? Practice, okay? Practice it, whatever it is. If you want to get better at it, practice. And so the way that we get better at praying, by praying with other believers, and then we get better at praying by practicing prayer. We practice praying. And so we're actually going to practice right now. Yeah, we're going to practice praying by praying, because I think that's how we grow. And so this is what's going to happen, okay, over the next few minutes or so. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to guide us through the Lord's Prayer. And so we're just going to take it a couple of lines at a time. And what I want you to do is, as we just focus on a couple lines at a time, I just really want you to think about what you're praying. And then we're going to pray about it in hopefully a deeper way. Now, I also realize that we have folks that are probably here right now who are not walking with Jesus, or you're not a believer. Or maybe you're online and you're like, okay, this is time for me to check out. And I'll admit, if that's you, you're probably going to feel pretty awkward here in a minute. But I just want to encourage you. If you're not a believer, first off, we are so glad you're here. We're so glad you're with us. And I just want to invite you to try it out. Like, maybe just try to pray. It ain't going to hurt you, I promise. Okay? But maybe for you, as we're going through the Lord's Prayer, if you want to join us, great. But maybe for you, your prayer is this: God, if you're real, show yourself to me. God, if you truly are God, show yourself. If Jesus is God, then make that known. And maybe that's your prayer during this time, okay? But for everybody else, for all the believers out there, I want to challenge you right now to lean in, okay? Because prayer is an invitation. It's how we commune with God. There's power attached to prayer, and so we're going to do that right now. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Even if you're not ready, we're still going to do it, okay? So we're going to start out praying just over the first two lines, and we're going to have some music in the background, okay? But we're going to start out just praying over our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And on the slides, okay, I put some suggestions for you. These are just suggestions. You don't have to go by this. But I know for a lot of you, like, I don't know what to pray for. Okay, well, I thought of some things just to help you out. I want you to think about during this time, I want you to praise God for the fact that he's your Father. If you're in Christ, he's your Father. You call him Dad. And I know for some, like, we struggle with that because we had a bad dad, a dad that didn't love us well. Well, God, our Father, is the perfect dad. He's the perfect dad. He's always doing what's best for us. He is fathering us through every single circumstance. So I just want you to pray that back to God. Thank you for being my Father. Thank you that you're fathering me through every circumstance. And then think about how he's in heaven. He's the boss. He's in control of all things. He is sovereign. And just recognize that as you pray, okay? But I'm just going to give you a minute or so just to pray silently where you're at, so that you can praise God for those things. Please take a moment. Let's do that right now. Jesus prays like this. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so now let's take some time just to consider that phrase and let's pray for just that. Let's perhaps pray, Jesus, would you come quickly? Would you hurry? We need you, Jesus. Come back. He tells us to do that. Pray that we would live faithfully as his representatives, that his standards would reign supreme in our lives, and that we would trust in his sovereignty, okay? So take a minute or so just to pray for those things. Let's do that now. Give us this day our daily bread. Really, this is our time now to pray to God about our needs. Bread is a common metaphor for physical needs. It's the necessities of life. I know for a lot of us, sometimes we feel guilty praying selfish prayers. Well, God commands us to. He says, come to me with what you need. And let's pray for daily strength, that we take life one day at a time and that we trust in God's provision. I think this is a good time now for maybe to pray for the needs of those that you know. Maybe there's some people in your life and you're like, man, they're struggling right now. They really need help, God. So take some time to pray for them and let's trust in God's sovereign provision. Let's do that right now. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And so now is a good time to come before God and to ask him once again, okay, for those of us who are in Christ, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. But sin can destroy fellowship with God. And so right now, as we come before God, think about those sins that are in your life that you still struggle with and say, God, would you cleanse me once more? Would you help me to repent, God, and to pursue life, not death? That's what sin is. You're pursuing death. And then I know this last part is hard, but Jesus says, just as I have forgiven you, you are to forgive others. You've been given grace. And at the same time, you've been called to give grace to others. And so I want you to think about people who have hurt you, people who have caused you pain. And would you ask God, say, God, would you help me to forgive them? Would you help me to give them grace? Give me strength to do that, Lord. So let's do that right now. Take some moments to do that. Lastly, let's pray. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so I want you just to take a moment just to pray that God would help you to overcome temptation. God does not tempt us to sin, ever. He can't do that. That's not in his character. He only tempts us to do good. But he will allow us to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was tempted by the devil, but Jesus didn't succumb to sin as he saw the way of escape. And pray that God would help you to see the way of escape as well, to overcome temptation. Maybe there's some trials in your life that you just don't know how to get through. Ask that God would give you the strength to get through and persevere through that trial, that he would lead you towards life, towards blessing, towards joy. Okay? Let's do that right now. Well, to God be the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, wasn't that cool? Okay. Wasn't that cool? Thank you for participating. Okay. So you got some homework as we leave. Okay. We're not done yet. You got some homework. I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you to think of three other times this week. Okay. Decide where, when you're going to do it and where. Three other times to pray through the Lord's Prayer like we did just now. Okay, and let's just see what God does with that. Okay, can we do that three other times? Okay, figure out some time, a place where you can do that. Just give it a shot and let's see what God does. Okay, would you bow with me as we pray? Well, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the ability to commune with you at all times because of prayer. Because of what Christ did on the cross and through his resurrection, as we believe in him, we're granted your spirit. And we are able to commune with your spirit at all times. God, would you help us to be a praying people? I don't think I need to tell this congregation that we live in a day and age where we fervently need to be in prayer. These are hard times. As we think about everything going on this week, and we praise you, God, that the decision for life won, but we know that the battle is not over, God. And Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to be a light, that we would speak truth in love, because there's many hurting people out there, many confused people. And so may we not be those proud, arrogant type of Christians, but be the type of Christians that love like Jesus. God, help us to do that. Guide us. But we praise you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.